more of His grace. Grace can be multiplied, increased in faith, hallelujah. And it's not that God's not trying to increase His people, but I'm going to be talking about trusting God, trusting the Lord. That's the title this morning. And I've realized over the years, not just now, but I've realized the more that I trust God, the stronger my faith gets. I mean, I build faith in through the Bible. You can have mountains of faith, but getting established in it's a different thing. You know, once you get established in faith, there ain't no sickness can hang on. There ain't no anger problems anymore. You know, there's total freedom in the Lord. We've already been set free. The Bible says, whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And we've been redeemed. Monty did a very good job. You know, the curse was there. They entered into that curse by their disobedience. The curse was already there. And they entered into it about disobedience. But Jesus redeemed us. Praise God, He redeemed us. And we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. We've been redeemed from death. Oh, death, where is thou victory, Jesus said. He said, death is swallowed up in victory, praise God. And so you can't intimidate us once we get established and rooted in faith. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So you can't threaten me with death, because death is victory to me, praise God. To leave here, and I'm not ready to leave here, but I'm all stirred up, even not just up here, you know. Praise God. You can't, Satan can't threaten me with dying and getting in the grave. I won't imagine it. I'm getting out of here, because when I leave here, this body's going in that grave, but I'm not, and you're not. So you ain't going to suffocate in there. Come on, somebody. I've heard fear all the time. What if I ain't dead and I get in there? No, get out of that. The world's got to fear all of that stuff. Let God, when we leave this body, we're going home to be the Lord. But we're going to live long, satisfied lives. Are you? You done made up your mind? The Psalms 91 over there, long, satisfied lives. Not long, fearful, broke, weak lives, no sick. And all of that, no, that's not what the Bible promises us. It promises we got to trust that the Lord will do what He said He'd do in His Word if we believe Him. We can take Him at His Word. If He says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, well then things come against you, don't just accept it. I mean, you know the ordeal I just went through. They thought my heart was stopped up again, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And fear will try to get you. Fear will try to come. Thoughts will try to come. What if you are? What if they have to open you back up? What if they have to go in? You can't entertain all of those. Jesus said, don't worry. You know, and so I cast all of them out, bless God, and I went down there to bring back a testimony. See, that's the way you got to look at things in your life. You're not from a point of trying to get up here into victory. We're from a stance of victory, and we're taking it. We're moving forward. We're taking it day by day. We're increasing in God day by day. You know, and so I go down there, praise God, they run that dye in there, and boom, everything's fine. Hey, before I could even get up, get off, get ungroggy, he said, everything's fine. I thought, glory to God, that's what I was expecting. You know, you're so anointed, the medicine don't want to put you out either. He looked over at me, he cut my arm or something, whatever he did, goes through that main artery. He looked over at me and he said, hey, man, give him some more. The dude's wide awake, and I thought, I'm anointed. Man, this anointing on us, praise God. How many knows we are the anointed ones? We're anointed by Him. We're the anointed of God. We have the anointing. With that anointing is yoke-breaking, burden-lifting power that is on us, that is in us, that is around us. I told Travis the other day, I said, son, when he his truck, you know, it's just like nothing happened with the truck, you know. And I mean, you know, I mean, he could, like he could care less. You're supposed to be, but I heard him going around, he'd listened to a sermon, I heard him go around for about a week or so saying that he was a bird and lily Christian. I'll show you what he means in the scripture here in just a minute. You go ahead and put that up there, Beth, Matthew 6. But I heard him go around, well, he was saying it. I thought, you know what, I see my son going to another level. Now, I've heard him, you know, confess every now and then over the years, but it just seemed like here in the last year or so, you know, that he's moving up. You know, he'd say it, well, my truck, well, the tax, it was taxes first. And then he wouldn't let them bother him. Then he goes listening to sermons. He goes to, they go, how many knows that's a good thing to do? Keep yourself fed. Keep your spirit fed up. Hallelujah. Keep it fed up and charged, man. Keep it energized. You know, with the word of God, some preaching. When you're doing it, your flesh ain't picking up on, whoo, it might not be like, whoo, your flesh, you know, but your spirit saying, whoo, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then when you face something, you're like, oh, glory to God, I'm so anointed, this medicine can't put me out. Hallelujah. You think I'm preaching a bunch of hype. This kingdom's more real than this natural kingdom. I'm talking about things God's more real than this natural kingdom. The word of God is more powerful than the church. Some of the church has took it to be, and they don't honor the word, don't make the word weighty of importance. But when you make the things of God important and weighty to you, then he pays attention to that kind of stuff. He begins to increase people of that kind of stuff. Matthew 6, he said, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or that your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and the body than raiment? This natural realm, yes it is. Amen. It sure is. He said, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? There's where he gets, he's a bird Christian. Oh, okay. Amen. Huh? Amen. Come on, somebody. I've said it before, you know. This whole thing here is about worrying. Amen. You're not supposed to worry about your life. Worry about your family. Worry about your... You're not supposed to worry. God asked me one time when I read this, he said, how many car payments has worrying made for you? And I had to come back to God and say it didn't. He said, how much money has worrying generated for you? And I said, none. That's crazy. You know, he said, why are you doing it? Why are you worrying about your life? Why are you worrying about your bills? Why are you worrying about your family? Why are you worried? If worrying is not changing anything, why worry? So I heard Travis, he had got over to this, I guess it's Keith Moore, I guess. But anyway, I've heard him preach some down those lines before. But you know, he said he was a bird and lily. The lilies grow and don't toil. Well, let's just go on reading. Which of you taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? You can't, can you? I mean, Monty ain't growed a bit by worrying. Yeah, I mean, he did not. He's about this tall, he said. April said, down. And why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. You got to say something. That's where people mess up. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay my tax. I don't know what I'm going to do if I go down there and martyrs and stop that. What if it is? Take no thought saying. See, you take a thought by saying it. You bring power out by saying the wrong stuff. See, worry is meditating on the wrong thing. Negative stuff. What might happen. What it looks like. What's really going on. You know, you can't meditate on those things and not be worried. Worried. No, he said, and I've said it too. Aaron Travis said that. I said, I believe I'll just be one of them Christians too. I believe I'll just be one. I'll just believe I'll be one of them bird and lilies. They toil. I mean, I've never went out and picked up a bird and said, "What's wrong, man? God didn't feed you today. I'm starving to death down here. God's not supplying." I've never seen a skinny bird. I've never seen a defeated bird unless he got on the power lines and grounded or something, you know, or caught by a cat or something. You know, I've never seen a bird. I've never seen them build barns. I've never seen them store up. I mean, and he's telling us, are we not much more than they, how he takes care of them? I mean, you know, I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking, God, creation trust you. The trees trust God. I mean, they rely on God. They're growing up. Have you noticed trees don't grow down? They come up and they going up towards God. They're his creation, you know. And Monty was reading that, you know, about dominion over the earth. And I went around quoting that, and, you know, not to build up people to know or anything. But I was saying, God, you give me dominion over the fish, over the fowls of the air, over every living creature. You give Adam mankind dominion. He lost it, but you redeemed it back in Genesis. And then I started thinking, you know what? Dogs, they know God. Animals, they know God. They know the Spirit of God in us. And then I thought, well, the Bible says that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, of timidity, cowardness, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I thought, I've got dominion over dogs, praise God. And so I went to this job one time, and this dude didn't show up like he's supposed to. And I thought, well, I done drove all the way down here. You know, I'm going to take my license. And I used to be a thief so I could break in. And so I didn't forget how, you know. So I thought, well, I'll just go in there and take care of it, you know, because I'm not driving an hour and 20 minutes back down here and he's not answering the phone. And then I'll just give him a ticket and he can pay me. And so I just broke in his building and went on in there and did my thing and fixed it and everything. And there was this big dog in there, German Shepherd. It was this guard dog. Sandy, would you mess with one of Robert's guard dogs that you ain't been around? No, they'll get you, won't they? They will get you good. They're dedicated when they're trained. Well, I heard the dog bark, you know, and everything. He's back, and I said, shut up. I said, I got authority over you in the name of Jesus. I said, according to God's word. I said, and you know me. And that dog just went over and laid down like a puppy. And I thought, glory to God. Jesus, this worked, man. You know. See, it even shocked my mind that you know, that there was no fear in my heart. Well, I'd meditated on that word, that I have dominion over the. See, well, you got to meditate. I'm not telling you meditate on that. I'm not telling you follow me. I'm not telling you go taunt dogs. You'll get bit. You know, don't do all that. Just you follow the Lord. Whatever God's quickening in you through the Word of God, that's what you follow. That's what you go after. That's what you meditate on. Whatever God's bringing to life in you, then that's what you meditate on. That's what you speak out of your mouth. That's what you give your meditation to. Whatever He's bringing to quicken in you. And if he's not quickening you, get in his presence and tell him, God, quicken me to your sure word, God. God, quicken me. God, give me revelation, God. I need revelation because without revelation, the gates of hell is prevailing against me. God, I need revelation in this area. Well, that dog went on, you know, and I did my thing, left out of there. Well, the dude called me. About 15 minutes, I'd done headed out. And he said, oh, man, I'm sorry, man. I had my phone on silent. I'm on my way. I said, well, I'm done. He said, what do you mean you're done? How'd you get in? I said, well, I shouldn't have broke in your building. I said, but I broke in your building. I didn't hurt nothing. I said, and I went and took care of the problem. And he said, oh, my God, how did you do that? He said, that dog didn't bother you? And I said, no. I said, the dog went over and laid down, you know. And he said, oh, my God. He said, I can't believe that dog. He said, the gas man come just the day before yesterday. He tore the gas man up. He got out and chewed the gas man up a couple of days before I got there. Yeah. And so I thought, I didn't go through the bit, you know, and tell him all that. But when I got off the phone, I thought, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, these animals, I have authority over the fish of there, you know, the sea and all of that, praise God. We have authority. Well, he says here, praise God, he says here, he goes on, he said, take no thought saying. See, I could have said, oh, God, that dog's going to haul me up. Oh, Jesus, I come in here, oh, please, dog. Well, that's the way you do with sickness and disease. Don't pet it. Fear, don't pet fear. Don't pet it. Fear will make you feel sorry for your poor old me. Nobody accepts me. The Bible says you've been accepted in the beloved. Somebody told me this morning, they said, everybody's beating you with ties and suits. And I said, yeah, they're getting up on me. And I thought, I'm not in competition with y'all. I'm me. Y'all be y'all. Praise the Lord. See, even that can be, you know, you trying to fit in at church, trying to get everybody like you. Don't try to do all that stuff. You just let Jesus, you just be satisfied in Jesus, and you'll click with everybody. See, that'll work, because the closer we get to the Lord, the more one we'll become together. The more we're in faith, trusting God, the more we'll be one. Why? Because we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We're going to be obedient to Him. We're going to walk with Him, and we will walk with one another, because the Bible says that the fivefold ministry is given to edify the body till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the measure of the stature of Son of God. See, we're coming. We're all coming to that one place, that one faith. Catholic lady, we went on a job the other day, me and Travis, and I brought up, you know, the insurance wasn't going to pay or something, whatever, you know. And I told her, I said, and I don't know what Bible they got. I don't know what Catholics read, to be honest with you. So, but I just assume there's one Jesus. Right? And if they are another Jesus, they won't know which one I'm talking about. And that's not my fault. And so I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I said, she's 83 years old, you know, and I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I said, you see, I said, you've been, I said, you know, you can be bold without, but don't be mean. I'm telling this little Catholic lady that, you know. And she said, are you Catholic? And I said, well, no, I'm not a Catholic. I said, I'm born again in my living room. Then I turned around and I told her, I said, I don't reckon there's but one Jesus, are they? Oh, yeah, just one Jesus. That's just one Jesus. I don't know how they believe. I don't need to know how they believe. Don't mess me up. I'm not messed up, see? I'm not jacked up on how they... I don't need to know how they believe. All I need to know is who they need to believe in. See, Jesus is the way. He's the way to this path of healing. We're already healed. You know, I mean, I've got enough. I could be oppressed every day. Some of y'all have a blowout and you cry for 3 days. Man, I have a blowout, I just take the wheel off and keep going. Just jerk the wheel off, man. God, Jesus, take the wheel. Go, baby. You know. See, you got to come to the place where all these things that tries to set you back is just a setting you up to go higher, setting you up. You're motivated to go. I was motivated to go in there and come out with a good testimony. Of my heart's clear. Ain't nothing changed in 5 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray over and sanctify that pork. Now, I don't need to eat much pork. But when I do, I pray over it, buddy. I try to. And them brownies, I try to get them sanctified. God, make these nourishment for my body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I ain't going to take no chance. I'm not going to say, I know you can't. Praise the Lord. Then he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles see. These people out here without God, they're worried. They're stressful. They watch the news. They hear about Israel. They watch it. I mean, they go to the grocery store and their grocery bill is 100 or so higher a week or whatever, inflation. And they don't have nobody to trust in like we do. See, we're not to be like them. That's not down in them. They can come on over here and get in the faith if they want to. Get in this kingdom if they want to. And we're going to shine as lights. That means we're not going to be broke. And we might be going through financial trials. But how many knows? The Bible says in Psalms 23, and I took it for myself, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Goes on and he said, you'll make me to lay down in green pastures. pastures. You'll lead me beside the still waters. So every time I start going through, I don't say this is just the way it is. I always say, God, I'm going through. I'm not camping out right here in this financial trial. I'm not camping out. Just like Travis set out, he's going to pay his car. He's going to pay Beth's car off this year. He's making vision. You need to have vision. What you going to do? You don't know where you're going if you don't make vision. I mean, you don't know when you get to where you're going, you got to have vision. Or you don't know where you're going. Well, all of this come up, and then he's trucked, Johnny. And then he settled on this one, and he said, I'm not going to drop it. I'm going to pay my car off this year. Well, he ain't letting taxes. He ain't letting the truck get broke. Well, I was till all of it. See, you got to get out of all of that. Is God big enough to do all that? Is he big enough to meet an unexpected car blow up? Is he big enough? Yes, he is, if you don't worry. He said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first God. What does that mean? That don't mean necessarily ministry. That means when unexpected things happen to your body or whatever, you don't look away from him, you look to him. That's seeking the kingdom. That's putting the kingdom first. And his way of doing and being. What would he do? What would Jesus do if he was attacked with something? I know what he would do, rebuke it. He showed us how to do that. Jesus showed us how to do it. And so I told Travis, I said, don't throw it down. Just don't throw it down. Don't back off. Don't back off. Pray God. Believe God. Believe God to meet your need. Just believe him to do it. I was teaching two teenagers. They worked for me a little once a month on Saturday for a few hours. And they go to church and I assume serving the Lord, okay? And so one of them, I asked that one, I need to come. He said, when am I going to get to come work? I said, when you can drive yourself over here. I said, well, how old are you? Well, I'm 16. I said, you got your permit? Oh, well, no, Mom and Daddy ain't had time. I said, I understand. I said, you're 16. You ain't got a car yet. You serving Jesus? Yes, sir. So that's what Monty was talking about. It's not just here. The gospel go out yonder with us. You know, we can. And so I told him, I said, now look. I said, you need to take some of that money right there that you just got paid. I said, you need to go buy you a steering wheel cover. I said, and put it in your bedroom. I said, you say you serve Jesus. I said, it pays to serve Jesus. I said, because Jesus can do for us what our parents can't. Jesus can get done for us what other people can't get done. I'm not just talking teenagers. That's for me. Yes. And so I told him, I said, get your steering wheel cover. I said, and set it in there. I said, and every time you go in there, I said, you've got to find out where your car is in the Bible. He looked at me and he said, my car is in the Bible? I said, your car is in the Bible. I said, your car is in Mark 11. I said, over there, he says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. I said, your car is in Mark 11. I said, now when you ask God for that car, you just believe you receive it. I said, and you take that steering wheel cover, I said, and you put it in there. I said, and every time you go in there, you thank God for your car that steering wheel cover goes on. I said, and you wait on it. I said, you wait on it. I said, see, I said, I'm talking about a faith thing. I'm talking about a confidence in God thing here. I said, Jesus can do for you what your parents can't do. I said, you can go beyond what your parents live. I said, but it's only in faith in God. I said, I'm teaching you a faith thing, a substance of God. He said, say that again. I said, faith is the substance of things you're hoping for, the evidence of your car. Faith is the evidence that you have it in here before you drive it. See, faith was the evidence of my healing before I got that shot in there. I got the report that I was believing God for, that all would be normal in the name of Jesus. And I did rebuke. And I don't deny that something might not have been there. I don't deny it at all. But you got to deny things right to stay. Anger, worry, fear has got to go. And, you know, because these things will cause you to be lazy, spiritually lazy. They'll drain you. They'll make you not feel good. You know, they'll make you not be up. They'll cause you to, you know, not desire the things of God and reading and praying and fasting and give you the motivation to do the things of God. See, it's Him that works in us, the Bible says, Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, our motivation didn't come from us if we're after the Lord and we want the things of God. It come from Him, that God-given desire on the inside. And when we go after those things, then all these things are added. Now, you heard what I told you about going, don't put your trust in nothing when you go to court. You put it in God. You don't put it in the DA. You don't put it in the lawyers. You don't put it in the judge. You do. And I had to say that again because don't beg the DA. The only way you do that is if you feel led that Jesus wants you to. See, because you're not trying to save your life. The Bible says if we seek to save our life, we'll lose it. But if we will, for His sake, lose our life, we'll say, and trust in Him is losing our life. Trust in Him and having confidence in Him is trusting Him, and that's losing our own life and gaining His strength, praise God. Worry is wrong meditation, thinking on the wrong thing. Problems, bills, what you don't have, not having enough, what could happen if the economy goes bad, and all of that stuff, you know. And I've learned, the Lord told me a long time ago in my spirit, through the Word, I'll have no other God before me. I mean, He told me that through the Word. He said, see, money can be a God. You're trusting in it. He said, I don't want you trusting in money. He said, I don't want you trusting in money to take care of you. I don't want you trusting in money to take care of the church. I don't want those on fixed incomes putting their trust in another God. He said, mammon is another God. He said, it's not, he said, but they make it a God. It's what takes care of you. It's what you lean on. It's what you trust in. It's what pays your bills. No, God's our source, right? We have to have that straight, that God's our source. We're not putting our trust in uncertain riches. That's what the Bible says. My job can be gone tomorrow, but this Bible stands. The Bible says that the Word of God will never end, never be defeated. Never lose its power. Never lose its strength. Hallelujah. Amen? Problems. Not having enough. People worried today. They're just worried. They say, I'm just worried sick. I'm so happy, man. Pray God I can't lay down and go to sleep. I'm thinking about all this joyous stuff I'm doing. I tried to take a nap yesterday. My mind is running wild. Oh, man, I need to go do that. I enjoy that. And I was like, shut your mind off, man. Shut it off. But I wasn't there like, you know, depressed that I've got all. I'm like, glory to God. I'm able to do all this. God is with me. God is in me. God is for me. God is not against me. See, when you're putting your trust in the Lord, it builds this that I'm talking about. This joy, this peace, this all of these things. And you'll start dreaming about the future. God will give you the dreams about the future. In other words, you'll have dreams to do a garden you ain't done in years. You know, you couldn't. I remember, I like to do gardening now. And back before I had open heart surgery, I started using fence post, metal T-post for my tomatoes, statement tomatoes, you know. And because my tomatoes, I don't know how I get them, but they get 6, 7, 8 foot tall, man, if I let them. I have to cut them off, you know. But anyways, I'd go out there and I'd drive just a little bit and I'd go to hurting in between my shoulder blades something major. You know, and I'd just fall down to my knees in that garden, praise God. And I'd say, God, I thank you, Lord, I'm in your strength. I'm going in your ability, God, and there's nothing going to stop me from having my garden in Jesus' name. This is not, God strengthen me, and I receive strength from you right now. This is relying on him. And I'd get up and go on, Johnny. I'd get up and go on. You know what? Praise God, I don't have that problem driving those posts anymore. I'm going to have a garden. I'm excited right now, praise God. I'm having to hold myself back. I ain't done, got it all tore up and everything, praise the Lord. The grandkids, they think they're going to melt out there. It's hot, Papa. We're melting. I'm like, no, you're not melting. You're just starting to sweat. You ain't never sweated before. That's what it is. It's called sweat. Praise the Lord. Well, got to teach these grandkids. Got to teach them about growing tomatoes and getting out and working and all of this stuff. This is God's creation. And thank God for the ability. Now, give me the Mark 10, Beth, please. Don't worry. Be a Bird and Lily Christian this week. I believe it's going to stick to you. I believe you're going to think about that the other week. Bird and Lily Christian. Ooh, yeah. And them birds, they God takes care of them. Them lilies, they don't toil, sweat, and worry, and all that either. Praise God, and I'm one of them. I'm just one of them. Thanks, son, for giving that to me. And Jesus looked around about and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom. Look at the disciples' response. And the disciples were astonished at his words. Why was they? Now, above this right here is the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler went, and I've kept all the commandments, blah, 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 blah. And he tells the rich young ruler, he said, go sell all you have and give to the poor. You know, blah, blah, blah. And the Bible says that the man went away sad because he had great possessions. And this is what Jesus said about that. And the disciples were astonished. Why? Because everybody had money. People wasn't broke. Jesus wasn't broke. Peter and them were fishermen. They had, I don't know how long they'd been in business. They wasn't, you know, they had nice ships and boats and nets and all of that stuff, you know. He said, and Jesus again said to them, children, how hard it is for them that, what? He changed it here. Trust. See, the man had his, I don't believe that Jesus was asking him to take a bow of poverty. I believe that Jesus was that, because the Bible says give and it shall be given, right? That scripture's very clear. I believe Jesus was giving him an opportunity to worship him instead of the money. To put his trust in him instead of the money. I don't believe that the guy would have been broke. I believe, because the scripture clearly says, give and it shall be given unto you. He told him, give to the poor. And so if the scripture's true, he wasn't asking him to take a bow of poverty. But then he said here, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say heaven. He said the kingdom of God. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished at this measure, saying among themselves, who can be saved then? Gosh. Good question, wasn't it? And Jesus said, looking at them, saith, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. He told them up there, you can have money and enter in. But faith is the way. Faith is the way. Not confidence in the money, not confidence in the stuff, but confidence in God. And God will bring you all that you ever dreamed of, I'm telling you right now. I told them two young kids, I said, listen to me. I said, I'm standing here today. It pays to serve Jesus. Not go to church every now and then. I'm talking about serving Jesus. I'm talking about dedicated. I'm talking about dedicate our hearts and our lives. Not be perfect. I said, it pays to serve Jesus. I said, you are standing in the presence of a man that was broken at 27 years old. And I give my heart to Jesus. I said, and I've endeavored to follow Jesus all these years. I said, and everything that you see and you can't see that I own, I said, I owe nobody for. I said, I own a farm, I own cattle, I own dozers, I own track hoe, I own dump trucks, I own all these trucks, all my tools, all my stuff, my house. They said, you don't owe nothing. I said, I don't owe anybody anything. I said, and you're not standing here looking at a broke man. I said, but what I'm telling you is that Jesus is the way. He's the way. I said, and his promises are yes and amen. I said, see, out of the life that I came out of, some people comes out of a family of money, and they got money. That don't mean nothing to them. Then you got others like me come out of a family of 17, and we eat commodities once a month. And some of you don't even know what that is, and hope you never. That's where you went to the Salvation Army once a month, and boy, you had Christmas once a month. And that's about all you had to eat, was about 2 weeks into it, and then you whatever you can find. So you imagine 17 kids, mom and dad farmers. They ain't got a regular job. They farmers. We eat everything that's put up before winter got there. Praise the Lord. Well, come out of that and into this thing called the kingdom. See, the kingdom is more real than this natural world. This natural world came out of this supernatural world. It was birthed out of this. It's a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. It came out of it, praise God. He said they were astonished out of measure. Where, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking unto them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter's telling them, man, we left our boats and we left everything. They did too. He went down there and told them, take up, he comes to us, you know. Don't put your job first. Don't put the things of this world first. Put my kingdom first, you know. Be honorable down here, but make the things. He's asked us to, he didn't ask me to quit business, but he did ask me not to put the business before him. He did ask me to make provision for the kingdom. He does ask me to be faithful to come to church. I don't have to be faithful to come to church. I want to. I'm going to. I mean, I'm going to seek first the kingdom. That's why I think believe all these things are added. All of us, praise God. He says, no man has left house or brethren, Jesus said, or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive how much? Jesus wrote this. Jesus said it. He said, there ain't nobody going to come to me and leave their boat and put my kingdom first. Put it first before your weekend. Put it first before. That's why I don't go out Saturday nights most of the time. You know, just not going to do it, you know. And you know, no man, he said, no man. And I stood on this when the economy hit 2007-08. When I was 3 months behind on everything that we owned, we didn't own nothing. We owed everything. Our cars, our house, our everything. We owed on everything. And I was 3 months behind on everything. That's about as long as they'll let you go. And I was already got a letter to go into quick foreclosure on our house. Get out. We're going to do a quick sale, try to get you all we can, and then you're going to have to pay the rest of it. And I took a stand on this scripture right here. This is all I had left. The bank sent me a letter, we want to help you. And I call them up to help me. Well, you don't qualify. I'm like, are y'all stupid or what? What'd you send me a letter for? And then I call you up and then I don't qualify because I'm not making no money? Are you serious? I thought that's the reason why y'all supposed to help me. But I took a stand on this. When Jesus is all you got left, that's enough. You hear me? When he's all you got to trust in, he's all you need. That's enough. See, all of the challenges that Monty was talking about, I mean, I yielded to fear. I yielded and worried about where's Travis and Beth going to live. Now, the grandkids wasn't here then. Where's Travis and Beth going to live? They were on our property. They're going to be homeless. You know? And we're going to be homeless. We'd give our home to my sister over there. We'd give a house and land away for insurance that ours would be paid. Got a need? What? Plant a seed. So we sold our house and land that God would see to it that ours was paid off. And here we are, 3 months with quick foreclosure. I turned to this scripture later. I repented of all that unbelief and stuff and worked on things like we all have to do to get focused in here and not here. And then I repented and I told God, I'm sorry, God, that I turned to the weak and beggarly elements of this world. I'm sorry, Lord, that I trusted in the banks. I'm sorry, God. See, I'm talking about trusting in the Lord this morning. And you know what? I took a stand on that. And I come out of my mouth every day, several times a day. Thank you, Lord. I've left lands. I've put you first. All that means leave mama and daddy and put him first. Just put him first and his kingdom first, his things first. He said, and all these things be added. Hundredfold. You know, and so I said, I tell the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, that I put my trust in that. And I got in fear and unbelief and tied your hands. I knew what it said in Psalm 78, how they turned back in their hearts and limited the Holy One of Israel. I already knew that. I mean, they kept walking, kept going to church, I guess. You know, kept going toward Canaan land, but they wasn't trusting the God in their heart. They wasn't. They were in fear, and they did not get to enter into the promises. They did not get it. And so, anyway, make a long story short, I took a stand on that word, and me and Teresa, at some point, we were sitting on our porch, on our doorsteps, after we had went through month after month after month after month, you know, and tormented with this stuff, you know, trying to torment your mind. When Satan's got a scope on you, he's going to try to torment you with it. He's going to try to keep it on your mind and keep it on your thoughts so you'll meditate on it. Meditate how it feels. Meditate where you're going to live. Meditate, you know, what if something happens and you have a stroke. He wants you focusing on all that stuff. Well, I got it straight down in here, praise God, and I told the Lord, I said, thank you, Lord, for my hundredfold. And I tell Satan, you might as well shut up. Praise God. You might as well shut up. I'm going to receive a hundredfold. I will not lose anything. Jesus said, no man has lost anything but received. And you know what, praise God, I own it all today. I lost a stinking garbage dumpster out of the whole ordeal. And I figured out they were charging me too much anyways. That's all I lost. And I praise God today and bring it to you today. You cannot lose believing God. I don't care if everybody else loses. Well, why are they? They're a good Christian. Stay out of that arena. Stay out of that arena because everybody don't fight the good fight of faith. Everybody don't lay hold. I'm not saying they're saved or not. But there's a difference in believing the word's true and fighting the good fight of faith. I mean laying hold of it. I mean it's getting up, fighting the fight of faith. It's getting up and speaking out of your mouth. He said over there, take no thought saying what we're going to do. How are we going to survive this? How are we going to pay the doctor bills? I know I had open heart surgery, $130,000 with no insurance. Went through the program down there. Got letter after letter, you know, you make too much money. And I tell them, man, that's my gross. You're going by my gross. That's not after all my deductions. They're like, you make too much money. Nope, sorry, Mr. Weston, sorry. $130,000. That will discourage you. Because I'm thinking, I'll live my whole lifetime, won't get that paid back. You know, and I thought, nah, praise God. And then I thought, my next thought is, you know, just let them sue you. And I thought, nah, a good name's rather to be. See, God was leading me. God was leading me even though the pressure was on and all of that stuff. And then I had to change my heart and say, God, I thank you that they were down there. Thank you that they did that surgery on me, Lord. I would have died without it, Lord. You intervened through that way, God, and I thank you for that. And you know what? I made up my mind. The Bible says, swear to your own hurt and change not. In other words, even if it cost you to do the right thing, do the right thing. See, this is seeking first the kingdom. I know it don't sound like it, but it is. It's God's way of doing and being. And so I called them up, got an agreement with them, told them what I was going to do. I told her, I said, I want to make $250 a month on that one. And one of them was the doctors, and $250 a month on that one, which was $500 a month, that I really couldn't afford. And so anyways, she comes back. She said, you're not going to believe this. And I thought, yeah, what's that? And she said, I went and told my manager what you wanted to do. And she said, if you'll pay $350 today, they'll wipe the $130,000 out. And you pay $500 a month on the doctors. They'll wipe out the hospital. And you just pay the doctors. And I said, by golly, I'll be right back. Let me get my card. Well, you know what? I'm there on the phone waiting on her, and I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I always do the right thing. That's what you do, even under pressure, Lord. Even you do the right thing, Lord, and I'm going to do the right thing. And I was telling the Lord, I'm going to believe you to pay this off early like I do my trucks and stuff. I'm not going to pay the rest of my life on this. And I'm talking to the Lord while I'm waiting on her to get back. Well, he canceled it. Well, less than 5 years, I paid that off early. We paid that off quick. So what I'm saying is, see, faith in God can get you $130,000 right quick. If it had been $1.5 million, he could have still come through. Because it's not about how big the bill is or how big your problem is. It's how your faith just took a stand, and it don't care about what it's looking at. Faith does not care about what it's looking at. You know? He says, sisters, mothers, and lands with persecutions and world to come will turn. Give me that Romans 4 right quick. I got about 5 minutes. As it is written. Now, I want to make a point here. Abraham and Sarah, y'all know the story. They was up well-stricken years, couldn't have kids. And Jesus is coming through the lineage. So he has to get Abraham the word to him. God has to get faith in Abraham. God needs faith in him. So he tells him, count the stars, count the sand. He said, your descendants. He goes to giving him faith, giving him vision. Your descendants. And I would imagine if it had been me, God, have you seen? I'm pretty washed up here. I mean, we're old. He was 75 when God gave him that. But anyhow, he says, as it is written. Is it written in there that you're more than a conqueror? It is, ain't it? Is it written in there that by Jesus' stripes you're healed? Is it written in the Bible that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Is it written in the Bible in Mark 11:22, have faith in God? Yes, it is. Is it written in the Bible, let the weak say that they're strong? Yes, it is. So we shouldn't be going around calling ourselves the way it looks, the way it feels. And I've had people say, well, Scotty, you know, he's one of them, you know, he just believes this wild stuff. This Bible's not wild. This Bible is sound. This Bible is tested. This Bible is proven. This Bible came out of the mouth of God. And it will make you look like a weirdo to the world. I mean, Jesus spitting in a dude's eye, that was kind of weird. You know, why didn't he just say, healed? But no, spit and put some mud in there. I mean, the Lord tell the prophet, go down and dip in the Jordan. Why didn't he just slap his hands on him and anoint him with oil? That's what I'd do. You know. No, it's all in however the Lord wants to do it. See, the one way that he wants me and you is trusting him in faith. Hallelujah. And he says, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And God spoke to me back yonder in 27 or 8 years ago. And he said, I call things that be not as though they are. And then I thought, what's that got to do with me, man? And then I run across scripture where it says, as God is, so are we in this earth, in this world, the Bible says. And God spoke to me. He said, I need you, just like I spoke the world into existence, I need you to declare what I've declared over you and speak it out over you. Speak it out into your life. Speak it out into the atmosphere. He said, because you are speaking spirits now. He said, cause I live in you. He said, and when I'm motivating you through the word, he said, I need you to call it the way that the word says. See, that's why you don't call yourself weak. That's why you don't call yourself defeated. You don't go around saying, I'm just oppressed. And the doctors can give you oppression medicine and go carry you. I mean, you know, I told somebody here, several years ago, young teenager, they'd go around saying, ADD, he's got ADD, he's just got ADD. I'm standing at the gas pumps. He said, don't say that over him. He said, tell him what he's got. I looked at him. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I got ADD. I said, who told you that? Well, mama, my brother, my sister, my daddy, my doctor. I said, so you just believe he got it because they said? Well, I mean, I need something to calm me down. I said, a wheelbarrow and about 40 acres of tomatoes would calm that right down. Amen. I said, you can wear energy. I said, look, I said, you need to, I said, and I said, now you serving the Lord, ain't you? Yeah. I said, look, every time you go take that medicine, I said, rebuke those words that's been spoken over you. Rebuke them. Ain't that what Jesus did to that fruit tree? It wasn't bearing the fruit he wanted to eat. He went over there and he rebuked it. He said, no man will eat fruit from you hereafter. He rebuked it. Then he went on over and taught them in Mark 11 over there. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what mountain? ADD. Bills. My body. My joints. I spoke to my digestive system this morning. I sure did. I said, thank you, Lord. I have a very good digestive system, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I have a good heart. I speak to my body. Why? Call those things that be not as though they are. I'm calling what the Bible says. See, that's not being fanatic. That's you keeping yourself in faith. That'll help you stay in faith. That'll help you stay focused on the Lord. And that'll help you usher in the things that be of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to live weak and broke and sick. If God tells me to give everything I've got away, pfft, gone. I tell you that with a boldness. I don't own nothing, praise God. He's allowing me to enjoy all this stuff, praise the Lord. And I'm going to enjoy it. He says that he gives me and you all things richly to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy your nice ride. Enjoy your pontoon boat. Enjoy your Harley. I literally enjoy pruning my fruit trees. God told me yesterday, he said, you know, pruning, he said, people always look at pruning as a bad thing, you know, in their life. Christians, you know, the pruning of the Lord. He said, but did you know when I told you to go on the street, I was pruning you? I said, how was you pruning me, Lord? He said, you didn't want to go. He said, that was pruning. He said, when I told you to go to the jails and different things, he said, that was a pruning too. He said, that was pruning off disobedience. He said, I asked you to do something. He said, that's why you don't have to have a lot of hard prunings. He said, if you be obedient, I'll ask you to do things and lead you. He said, and I'll prune you on the way. He said, it won't be near as hard as starving to death when I've told you to go back to work and you won't, and you're sitting there waiting on a check in the mail and get hungry. That's some major pruning. So I want to encourage you this morning, praise God. Believe God. Trust God. Speak over yourself blessing. Speak it over. I don't call Teresa how she is sometimes. She's always good. Every now and then she, you know. But if she does, I don't go to saying, now, blah, 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 the way she is, you know. But it can irritate you when your wife ain't acting right. And the husband. When the husband ain't acting right, I'll bring that in her, Teresa. You know. But it don't give us no reason to start speaking stuff. Don't start speaking stuff. We call those things that be not as though they are. I call her a Proverbs 31 woman. She asked me the other day, and I'm going to close with this. She's standing there, sitting there, and she said, what would be almost the perfect woman? I think that's what she said, wasn't it? Anyways, I said it would be a Proverbs 31 woman. Would be a perfect woman. You know, they're not perfect, but what would be that kind of woman? I said it would be a Proverbs 31 woman. A woman that loves God. A woman that works for her family. A woman that takes care of her house. A woman that, you know, you can read Proverbs 31, praise the Lord. And then she asked me another question. What was that? Do you remember? You don't remember? Anyhow, about me. She said, if I rated myself as a man from 0 to 10, you know, and what would I be? And I thought about it. I thought, well, bless God, I love God. I work hard. I love my wife as Christ so loved the church. I would lay my life down for my church members. You know, I'll give. When the Lord asks me to give, I'll give it all if He asks me to give it all. And I said, I would rate myself as a 9. And she said, why would you rate yourself as a 9? I said, because I got room to grow. And she come back and she said, well, most people rate themselves as a 10. I said, well, I know that I'm not arrived yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You know, we're on our way to arriving. So entrust the Lord. Just encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise God. Don't get your eyes on this world and things this world. Praise the Lord. Keep it on the Lord and keep focused in on the Lord. And dream and believe for God to bring things to pass for you. Praise God. And I know He'll do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. And Lord, we just thank You, Father.